Well, hi, friends, and welcome back to the James Epperly Show. Today's conversation is going to be real, raw, and I know potentially life-changing. Because let's be honest, every single one of us has been wounded. Some of those wounds are visible, but many are hidden deep beneath the surface. And here's the truth, that what we don't deal with always ends up dealing with us. Bitterness, fear, shame, and even generational curses, they all flow out of unhealed hurts. But what if the very pain that you have been trying to avoid is actually the doorway to the healing you've been praying for? Well, my guest today knows this reality firsthand. Jonathan Miller grew up a pastor's kid, walked through an 18-year family crisis, and learned what it means to let God heal the deepest wounds. His brand new book, Healing Hurts, is not just another Christian self-help book. It's a roadmap for anyone who's tired of hiding behind a smile, tired of carrying the invisible scars, and ready to step into freedom. So stick with us, because in just a moment, Jonathan is going to share how you can break destructive cycles, overcome the fear of reopening those old wounds, and start your healing journey today. Trust me, you do not want to miss this one. Well, welcome, Jonathan Miller, to the program today. It is an awesome privilege to have you with us.
Oh, James, it's a privilege to be here. And I can already sense in my spirit, God is going to do something great over these next few minutes. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, come on. That's what we're believing for. We believe that this is a platform to God, for God to reach people and change people's lives. So I'm glad you're here today. So I want to jump in because, man, congratulations on your brand new book coming out this November, Healing Hurts. Come on.
Yeah, man, it's been a process writing the book. I know healing is a process, but book writing is also a process. So we're excited about how it turned out and just the content of it. You know, when my wife was helping me on the read-throughs and the final edits, so many times, man, we felt the presence of God just come right into this very office I'm sitting in right now. And it's one of those things we believe is oily. You know, you can have good content, relevant things, but without the oil, without that anointing on it, it really doesn't do what it needs to do. So it's going to be a transformative read, a transformative book, because that oil is on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm believing that. And I'm believing that this interview is oily as well.
Yes, sir.
And I want to jump right into that title, Healing Hurts. And I've heard you describe how having a wound and kind of the painful cleaning process becomes a metaphor for spiritual and emotional healing. So can you just give me a little bit of the background behind that phrase, healing hurts, and what brought you to this topic?
Yeah. Great question. The title of the book really came as a result of an experience I had when I was 19. I was working manual labor, construction job, and I had a big saw in my hand, and it broke through when I was cutting and went right into my hand. I still have, you know, four little scars to show for it. And I went to the hospital, they stitched it up. But man, I was 19 years old and I was getting paid by the hour. So I wasn't paying a bit of attention to what the doctors were telling me as far as treating it and keeping it clean. So I went right back to work the same day. I was getting paid by the hour. I wanted to get paid, get back to work, work the entire next day, not taking care of the wound, not treating it properly. So sure enough, the wound became infected and the swelling was so bad it went all the way up to my elbow. And here's where the title came from. I had to go back to the very emergency room that stitched me up. And instead of them stitching me that time, they first had to take a scrub brush kind of thing and scrub the infection out. And James, I'll tell you, before God, it hurt more for them to clean it than the injury did itself. And all these years later, reflecting on that story, that's where the title Healing Hurts came from. Because when we're wounded, and it really doesn't matter what our age is, you know, I was talking to someone about this the other day, you can be 50 or you can be 15. When trauma hits you, you go into survival mode. So you're not really processing right. You're not really going through everything the way you need to. So when we don't have the tools to properly process, we don't have the tools to properly heal.
Yeah, come on.
Those wounds sometimes turn into infections. And that's what happened with my hand. Spiritually, emotionally, often when trauma comes, we don't have the tools to process it. So those emotional wounds become infected. And just like I had to go back and apply something that was irritating, something that was contrary to what felt good, there was healing in what didn't feel good. And I found that God brings us to those places spiritually and emotionally, wants to bring healing. Sometimes it's through the discomfort and the irritants of life that help us realize that healing.
Yeah, come on, that's good. You talk about growing up as a pastor's kid and how that shaped you and what all of that looked like. And obviously, you know, we come into church and we, you know, put on a mask and we act like everything's all together. So you've seen church life behind the pulpit, front of the pulpit, all around. Can you describe to me a little bit about how that journey as a pastor's kid helped frame this context of what you're talking about, healing and hurts?
Yeah, well, you said something really profound that God's given me the opportunity to kind of see this from both sides, right? So I have helped people as a pastor go through a very real thing called church hurt. It's a real thing. People have been misused, mistreated, sometimes abused, right, by people in spiritual authority. So church hurt on that side, I've dealt with a lot of people. I've seen that. But as a pastor's kid, I dealt with church hurt on that side of things. And a lot of people don't realize this. Yes, pastors hurt people, but guess what? People also hurt pastors, yeah. Right? And I've processed it in my own life. I've had to help my kids with it. You have people that have traveled the world with you because of you, quite frankly. Times you give up Christmas presents so their family can have Christmas presents. And the next thing you know, they're at somebody else's church saying just some of the most difficult things to hear about you. And as a pastor and a pastor's kid, you don't get to stop going to church or change churches when you get your feelings hurt. You have to just keep pressing in. So as a pastor's kid, there's a lot of hurt to process. And on the other side of it, there's a lot. And so I really feel because of those double-sided approach, if you would, to church hurt and the pain that happens, I've been able to address both sides. And I hope that the book will translate in a way that whether you're in ministry and been hurt from that side of it, or you've been sitting on the pew and serving in church and been hurt from that side of it, I think healing hurts, the message of it will resonate no matter which side you're standing on.
Absolutely. I think one of the errors that we can make is pretending like church hurt doesn't happen. And man, if you've been in the church any length of time, it does. And there is abuses in the church. And I know it's kind of a trending thing on social media and, you know, the deconstruction movement. But man, when the church can really pause and say, listen, we've gotten some things wrong, we've gotten some things right, but let's heal and move forward together. That's where there is power. I believe that. Yeah. You also talk in your book about an 18-year family crisis that you walked through. Unpack a little bit of that for us, because I think that really gives our viewers and the readers of the book a window that you know exactly what you're talking about. This is something that you've walked through.
Well, you mentioned it. I was born and raised a PK. My dad was a phenomenal pastor, phenomenal preacher, and in 99.9% of the ways, just a phenomenal husband and a phenomenal father. But he suffered from a lot of deep-rooted insecurities. And growing up in the 80s and early 90s, you know, not being critical because so much of that was good, but with some of the faith movement and some of the speaking the word of God and not speaking anything else, my dad was suffering from insecurities and was too afraid to admit it, too afraid to go get help because that was a lack of faith. But in not dealing with those insecurities, it opened up a door for sin to come in. When I was 12 years old, my dad confessed to my mother and then to the church that he had been involved in adulterous relationships with a few women inside the church. And of course, the church went from something to nothing. My mom was angry and hurt, understandably so. She filed for divorce. And fast forward about 4 or 5 months into all of this, you know, we were losing our church, our home, and already lost our cars. My parents were about to lose their marriage. My dad was at a point where he wanted to take his life. And God supernaturally intervened, made a way for him to go to Minerth and Meyer for almost 3 weeks, the clinic in Chicago. He did inpatient, outpatient. And there he really began to find the beginning of his repentance, because repentance isn't a one-time thing, right? It's a process. And my mom was able to actually kind of come to Minerth and Meyer that last part of his time there and get some individual counseling as well as couple counseling. And she saw that my dad truly was broken and repentant, and she wanted to give the marriage a second chance. And it's when the news of that became public that all hell really broke loose. This was about a year after the initial news of my father's infidelity. And in that year, the women he was involved with were very quiet. Matter of fact, they told my mom they instigated it, that they were in love with my dad and they started the relationships. They were very apologetic. But when they found out my parents were going to be giving their marriage another chance, that's when they went to law enforcement and said that my father had used his position as a pastor, his position of authority, to somehow influence their actions. I'll just make it real plain. They were basically saying they were not responsible for what they did. And they were paid handsomely by the Victims Assistance Program for their testimony. We thought, man, there's no teeth to this. This will never, it was a lie. My dad was guilty of sin, guilty of adultery, but not guilty of anything criminally. But after a very public 2-week trial, news cameras everywhere, local ABC, CBS, NBC, local Fox, they found my father guilty and they sentenced him to over 30 years in prison. My mom, she stayed married to him because she knew he was innocent. She fought for his release, passed through the church with about 14 people in it. And that might have been counting the two bats that were in the belfry. But didn't get paid for 8 years, bro. She was working at a mall kiosk. She worked drilling water wells. She worked on farms, paralegal, worked at county fairs just to keep bread on our table. And me, I went a little crazy, drugs, alcohol, partying. But you know, James, and all of that, I knew God had a plan for me. And at 17, I recommitted my life to the Lord. Not long after that, I preached my first sermon. And I went from the age of 17 preaching about revival and miracles and restoration and God's sovereign hand to the age of 30, 17 to 30, preaching sometimes on international TV about God being a miracle working God and unable to get my own. Well, my mess had a miracle though. After 18 years of my dad being in that place, God moved on the heart of a governor and he granted my father an executive clemency, which is the equivalent of a pardon. When I get done taping this podcast with you, I'm actually going over to pick my dad up and take him out to lunch. He's been home now for 14 years. This coming January, we'll make 15. And check this out. I'm going to go pick him up at the house he lives in with my mom. Not only are they still married, bro, they're happily married. Not perfectly married. Let me clarify. Not perfectly married, but they are happily married. My children, I've got a 15-year-old and a 14-year-old daughter, beautiful little girls. They've never known a day of my dad incarcerated. They've only known the miracle part of this. So to every person that's watching and every person that's listening, God is still a miracle-working God.
Yes, he is.
And no matter how long it may take, he will be faithful to do what he promised to do.
Yeah. So during that time, you know, when everything was falling apart and, you know, your dad was on trial, you know, to when you rededicated your life to the Lord and got saved, what was that process like for you individually? Because obviously we have seen time and time again where ministers have fallen and man, the weight of that often comes on the kids, and often we don't see the kids return back to faith because, you know, the church can be, instead of ministering to our wounded, we can be the most brutal to our wounded. So what was that journey like for you? How did you survive that?
So the drugs, the alcohol, the fighting, the parting, all of that, it was me running from the pain. The moment I began to run to the pain, that's when I met Jesus for real. Like I met the real Jesus. Not the Jesus that was my mom and dad's Jesus, the one I heard about growing up, but the one who comforted me. The one, and I'm sorry I'm getting emotional, but he's the one that when I was parking my truck on the train track waiting for a train to come by, he's the one that told me I love you and I have a plan for you. But that didn't happen until I began to embrace the pain. And realize, and it's a cliche, I know, but my God, it's true that our pain really does have a purpose. And when I began to run to the pain and say, God, what is it you're trying to birth in me? And I saw it's a ministry. I saw, oh, there's an anointing. I saw crowds when I would sleep at night. I would see glimpses of audiences when I would pray. And when I began to realize that that pain was the prerequisite, it was what God was allowing in my life to crush me. Wow. So I could actually have an oil. Now, you know, I've preached on television. I've preached all around the world. And I say that only because of this reason. I haven't been qualified to preach in any of those places that I've ever preached. I don't have the education that most people have. I'm sure not as intelligent as most people have. I'm not as good with words as some people are. I'm not the greatest preacher or the greatest communicator, but I do have an anointing on my life.
Come on.
And that's not said out of arrogance. That's said because I know the price that was paid for it. And when people begin to realize that the enemy wants to send pain for no other reason but to divert us from destiny, to get us to get out of the path of God's will for our life, and we begin to turn that pain into our motivation, and we begin to turn that pain into purpose and say, okay, devil, I'm going to make you pay for what you did to me. I'm getting ready to preach for a good friend of mine, Bishop Kevin Wallace. I was telling him, I said, hey, I just want you to know, it doesn't matter if I'm preaching for you or if I'm doing a Bible study with 50 of our youth at New Beginnings, there's not a time that I step up onto a stage to preach the word of God that I don't tell the devil, I'm going to make you pay for what you did to me. And bro, when we can turn that pain into power and turn that pain into purpose, it's almost impossible not to heal. It really is, because you're walking so much in destiny and you're walking so much in the glory and you're feeling so much of God's anointing in your life. It's like, okay, I'm going to be everything that God's called me to be. And that's when the power of pain is broken off of you and you really can't turn it into power and purpose.
So do you think sometimes we give the devil too much, props for what's happening? You had mentioned briefly there about, you know, really dealing with the core issue and why, you know, this happened and some of those things. And of course, the devil plays a role in it. But sometimes just leaning into that personal responsibility and, man, I'm unhealthy. I haven't been doing this right. There are things that I need to root out in me. And sometimes I just feel like, especially in the Word of Faith movement, we can just point everything at the adversary and the devil made me do it.
Spiritual attack.
Yep. And not really just, again, it's kind of hiding behind a smile, just hiding behind the devil. So how do we decipher that? What is actually a spiritual attack? And what is the result of us sowing bad seeds in our life?
This is such a great, great question. I've been actually talking a lot to our leadership team about that. As a church, man, I'm just going to be honest, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we have been under a spiritual attack. Absolutely, it's a spiritual attack. Now, how do you know? You asked the question, how do you know if it's a spiritual attack or if it's just some stuff that you've brought on by bad decisions? There are consequences to lack of wisdom. Well, that's what you have to ask, and that's what we do. In every storm, in every attack, it's my heart to say to the Lord, show me. If there's anything that I've done, if I've lacked wisdom, if it's a bad decision that I've made, if it's something that I didn't see along the way, is there something in my heart? Is there pride? And I told you we've been in a spiritual warfare for 3 weeks, but we've been in warfare for almost 2 months. But it took a couple months for my wife and I to get on our knees and find out what it was in us that God was trying to break in us. What is he trying to grow in us? And when we begin to see some things shifting with our staff, shifting in our authority and our role as pastors, when God began to show us some stuff that needed to break in us and die in us, that's when we're like, okay, now this is all spiritual because we've positioned ourselves. And when you can stand and say, hey, we're not perfect, but our hearts have been right. This isn't a result of impurity, lack of integrity. It's not a result of bad decisions or a lack of wisdom. Then you have the right to stand before God and pray for his spirit to raise up a standard like a flood against the enemy that's coming in. But it has to start with examination. Every storm that we get in, we have to ask ourselves, why are we here? And if God begins to speak to you that you're the reason, well, that storm will come to an end when you get your stuff together. But if you're not the reason and it's spiritual warfare, then you got to speak your way through it until that storm comes to an end.
That's right. Yeah, we got to get healthy. We got to get our churches healthy. Man, we got to get free. So
we do.
In your book, you give several tools to help people, to help the readers bring on this healing process. Can you just real quickly give me one of those tools that you write about in your book?
Yeah, I think everybody, no matter their age and stage in life, has to come to a point where, first of all, they say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
Right. I'm tired of being on my third relationship or third marriage going into my fourth. I'm tired of these cycles of dysfunction and abuse that happen in my life. So it first has to start with, hey, I want to see my life change. I want to break the cycle. And then secondly, there has to be a willingness to face the pain. Most people are in their third marriage because they never dealt with the pain of their childhood, never dealt with pain of the first marriage or the second marriage, thus they're getting into their third. So there has to be that willingness to stop running from the pain and running to it. And then third, you got to be willing to follow instructions. You know, Naaman had this great miracle, 2 Kings 5, the Syrian commander, he had leprosy. You remember how mad he was when he went to Naaman and Naaman, or to the prophet, and Elisha wouldn't even come out to talk to him. He sent his servant Gehazi. He's like, that man was supposed to come out here and wave his hand at me and call me healed. But now he told me to go dip in a river, which is, by the way, extremely dirty compared to the rivers of Damascus. And he wants me to do it 7 times. But his servants talked him into following the instruction. And if we can just begin to follow instructions, and someone's saying, well, where do those instructions come from? They can come through counseling. They can come through mentoring, coaching, pastoring, spiritual authority. But I will tell everyone this, that third step, you're not going to be healed and you're not going to walk in your destiny without someone helping oversee you and helping coach you along the way. So enough is enough. I'm sick of my life being this way. All right. I'm willing to face the pain that's caused the issues and the dysfunction in the first place. And third, whether the instructions make sense or not, I'm willing to follow the instructions until the process is complete and what was sent to take me out is now a testimony of God's power in my life. Thank you for that. For all of you that are watching and listening today, I pray, number one, first and foremost, that God by his Spirit would give you the courage to say enough is enough. Enough of the alcoholism, enough of the drug addiction, enough of the codependent dysfunctional relationships, abusive one to another, enough. In the name of Jesus, I pray that something would rise up in you even now to say, I can have better than this. I deserve better than this. And I pray that God would give you the courage, and he'd give you the strength to face that pain. It's time to run to the pain because that's where God wants to meet you. That's where he wants to heal you. That's where he wants to restore you. And then I pray third that God would give you the strength and the courage to obey whatever the steps in your process may be, whether it's washing in a place of discomfort and having to face the ugliness of your condition over and over and over again until you're healed, or if it's allowing Jesus to use irritants like he did with the blind man when he spit in the sand and made clay and put it in his eyes. I pray that you would have the courage to follow your steps in the process. Healing can be yours. And I just want you to grab that in your heart today. Hear me as if God himself was speaking that, because some of you don't feel it's possible. It's too far to obtain. It's too far out of reach. The devil is a liar. Healing is available. Healing is the children's bread, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor, for that. I believe that this book is going to help people. I believe it's going to break some things off and get people healed and whole. So tell us a little bit about your ministry and where we can find more information about New Beginnings Church and all that you're doing.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah, OrlandoNewBeginnings.com. OrlandoNewBeginnings.com is our church website. And of course, we're also on all social media platforms. Just look up Pastor Jonathan Miller, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and connect with us. We're really blessed in this season. God is moving amazingly. Amen. At New Beginnings, we're experiencing revival, yet practical teaching and practical discipleship is happening. And of course, God is continuing to allow me to travel all across America and around the world, preaching at churches and conferences. So even though we've been under a great attack and the enemy's been messing, God really has been blessing. And it's just an amazing season to be serving God. Amen.
Yeah. Well, brother, it's been an honor to have you on the program today. As I told you before we went live, you know, you are a preacher's preacher. You have an anointing on you. And I would be lying if I didn't say I've preached one or two of your sermons over the years.
I'm flattered and honored. To God be the glory. It's all his anyway, right? Thank you for
that's
that.
That's right. So thank you, sir, for being obedient. Thank you for being on the program today. It is such an honor. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Life can be hectic, and we often find ourselves rushing from one task to the other. However, with the Pioneer Network app, you can discover faith and inspiration wherever you are. Featuring original programming crafted to uplift and strengthen your faith, the app connects you with some of the world's leading Christian voices, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're commuting, exercising, or taking a break, spiritual enrichment is now just a tap away. Don't let the busyness of life distract you from your faith journey. Stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform.
At Pioneer Television Network, we are dedicated to spreading the spirit of revival and sharing the hope and love of Jesus with people everywhere. Every broadcast, every message, and every life touched is made possible through the generous support of people just like you. Your gift will not only help us continue to share this life-changing message, but also empower us to reach even more people with the hope of revival. As our way of saying thank you, we'd love to send you a book of your choice from one of our recent ministry guests. It's easy to give. Use the information at the bottom of your screen or text PTN now to 1-888-364-GIVE. Your generosity will help us bring the spirit of revival to countless lives around the world. Thank you for standing with us and for being part of this incredible mission. Together, we're making an eternal impact.
Well, wow, what an incredible conversation with Jonathan Miller about his brand new book, Healing Hurts. I don't know about you, but I felt the weight of truth in every word. Trust me, I know that healing is never easy, but it's worth it. Why? Because the freedom on the other side is greater than the pain of the process. Now, if this interview spoke to you, I want to challenge you. Don't just be inspired for a moment, but take action. Pick up your copy of Jonathan's book, Healing Hurts. And we've made it easier than ever. If you'd like to support what we're doing here on the James Zepperly Show, we want to make this book available for your love gift of $25 or more to this ministry. When you sow into this work, you're helping us continue to bring conversations like this to people over the world. And most importantly, if you've been carrying hurts, scars, or hidden wounds, we would love to pray with you. Consider sending us your prayer request. Come on, you don't have to carry the weight alone. So friends, healing may hurt, but you don't have to hurt forever. God has a future for you filled with freedom, hope, and abundant life. I'm James Epperly, and thank you for joining us today. And until next time, remember that God loves you, He's not mad at you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
This has been the James Epperly Show. This worldwide broadcast is made possible by friends and partners of Pioneer Television Network. Your faithful monthly support helps take this message around the world. To learn more, visit thejamesepperlyshow.com.